a pastor was preaching a message on the Lord's Prayer, and he was talking about forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the children were always excused just before the sermon for their own children's church, where the leaders used the pastor's text for the lesson. So during the course of the session, they asked the children, what is a debtor? Rachel, age 5, responded, it's somebody who's really, really dead. There's dead, and then there's really, really dead. So Judges chapter 5, verse 28. We got partway through this verse last time, and it says, the mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned answer to herself. Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel or two, or to Sisera a prey of diverse colors, a prey of diverse colors of needlework? Of diverse colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil. So continue on in this verse in Song of Solomon chapter 2, there's the story of my beloved speaking the Lord Jesus Christ, and he looketh forth out of the windows. So there's an application here talking about the windows. There are windows in heaven that the Lord can look out and see what's going on. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says, the windows of heaven were opened, when it talks about all the rain coming down on the earth. In 2 Kings 7, 2, the king leaned and answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And it was talking about having food after being enslaved for this long period of time with the military around the city and them starving and all the other things. And he's saying, there's no way this food can just show up. Of course, God does do it, but that king does not get to eat any of it. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it talks about the Lord of hosts saying, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on in the book of Malachi, and there's a lot of things going on here, obviously, in the book of Judges. But one of the common things the Lord is, he has a desire to pour out blessings upon people. He wants his people to be rewarded. The question isn't whether or not God wants to bless you. The question is whether or not you're going to do the things that he wants you to do so he can bless you. Now, I'm not saying blessings are that God's going to come down and give you the winning lottery ticket with a whole bunch of zeros to the left of the decimal point. There's no guarantee of that. But there are a lot of other blessings that you can have in this world. You can have your mind. You can have your health. You can have kids that actually can put up with you. You can have family members of all the other varieties and in-laws and outlaws that actually like you. You can have a job. You can have a vehicle that runs most of the time. You know, all those things, those are all blessings that we have that are very easy to take for granted. Understanding that, you know, mankind is building the vehicles you're driving. All it takes is them to have a bad day and forget a step, and some period of time later, you're going to start having problems. Just remember, the computers that they put in there were probably built by the least, whoever bid the cheapest price. You know, it's kind of like military stuff. You know, it's like whoever bids the cheapest bid usually gets the government contract. You know, that's always a good thought when you're going into war. You know, that whoever's the cheapest out of this is the one that you purchased it from. But same thing with vehicles. And even with all that, there are just some cars that come out and they're just lemons. It doesn't matter what you do to them, they're just never going to run right. Well, how much more is that in the world we live in today where all it takes is somebody's stock market prices to be adjusted, have some kind of scandal come out, and your job is gone? Look at all the major companies. Cisco is supposedly laying off, 7% of their workforce or something like that? You know, it's so easy for things that we have every day that we get so comfortable with, we forget about the fact that they can go away. Have you ever thought about this? You got water to drink. Think about how many places in the world don't have water to drink. Imagine being in Vanuatu. You know, you're on some of these small islands. You might not have a whole lot of options for fresh water. And if you ever tried drinking salt water, it's not recommended. It doesn't go over well long term. Imagine what it's like in any other place. You don't have to be in Vanuatu. Just think if some gas problems started happening and you couldn't get gas for your vehicle. Well, that's bad enough, but how long does it take until Walmart can't restock their shelves? or the grocery store that you go to of your choice. How are you going to react then? See, blessings are sometimes something that we take the most for granted, and we don't appreciate them for what they are. But here in Judges chapter 5, Sisera's looking, or the mother of Sisera is looking out the window, and she's crying through this lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming, and why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" Now understand, at this point in time, she's used to the whole drill. She's seen Sisera go out and go out to battle and win and have all these things and come back, and she's saying, "Hey, this has taken longer than it normally does. You know, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on." And next thing we know in verse 29 is that her wise ladies answered her, "Yea," and she returned answer to herself. Now, one of the things about this is it's very easy to have friends that'll give you a positive answer. It's very easy to have friends that will agree with you, but they're not friends. Because see, a real friend's going to tell you the truth. A real friend that's somebody that isn't going to give you a positive answer just to give you a positive answer. Think of all the pastors that are getting up today in the pulpit, on TV, or wherever else, and they're going to preach a positive message to make you feel good about yourself. Well, look, if you're lost and going to hell, the last thing you need is a pastor telling you how good you are. What you need is somebody to tell you the truth, that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reality is, whether we're saved or lost, we still need the Lord Jesus Christ just as much. There is no difference between the saved and the lost and the need for the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference is some of us, when we get saved, we just get used to it and we just take it for granted, and the lost just don't understand what they're missing out on. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. And we're just going to go over some verses about friends. Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to look in verse 17. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." So one of the things that you can mark away in the back of your mind is, if you have somebody who's a supposed friend, and when tough times come, when difficult times come, and they're not around, well, you know what they are. They're not a friend. And you need to pay attention to people like that. And those are people you don't need to invest a lot of your time in. You know what they are. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 24. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Understand, for a lot of people, not everybody comes from a large family. Not everybody has brothers and sisters. But one of the things is, you can have a friend that is good or better than a sibling. You should have some good friends in Christ. You should have some good friends in Christ that when difficult times come, you know you can pick up the phone and you can call them, and they're going to listen. They're going to pray for you. They're going to offer whatever help that they can do. They're going to be willing to stand in the gap, so to speak. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 6. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." This goes totally against modern society. Modern society says, as long as somebody kisses up to you and they call you great things and they like you and all this other stuff, that's great. What does God say? See, God's got a completely different viewpoint on this. He's saying, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It is a good thing when you're doing wrong and you have a friend that comes up to you and says, "Hey, look, I love you. And what you're doing is wrong and you're going in the wrong direction. And the Bible talks about this, and this is not going to end up well for you. And I know you really don't want to hear this, but I'm your friend and I have to tell you. Because I don't want you to go through all the difficult things. I don't want you to go through these difficult times. Because if you choose to go down this road, one thing is, I'm not going to go down that road with you. The second thing is, who's going to be faithful to you when you go down that road? See, think of the story of the prodigal son. When he had all the money, he had friends everywhere. Why? Because he had money. And he was spending it on them. And he was buying gifts for everybody. And he was, you know, they were going and doing all these fun things and buying fun vehicles and ATVs and going on the vacations and all that. And as soon as the money ran out, where were the friends? Oh, they went to somebody else that had the money. What he found out is he didn't have any. We have a lot of people today that are youth who pay attention to social media, and they think that, hey, I have all these friends because they're following me and they're commenting on this. And it's the same group of people. They're fickle. As soon as you say something they don't like, they're gone. Those aren't friends. Friends are the people you can get a hold of that you say, I really need your help right now. Could you come over? And they say, I'm on my way. And they don't care whether you live 15 minutes away or 5 hours away or 5 days away. They're saying, I'm on my way. That's a friend. A friend is not somebody who agrees with you all the time. A friend is not somebody who is making these little posts and it's like, oh, your picture looks so cute, all that kind of stuff. Oh, what you did, that was so wonderful. That's not a real friend. The real friend is the one who goes through adversity with you when you're struggling and you're having the hard times and they're like, hey, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. You know, maybe all you need is just to talk. Maybe you just need somebody to write you a letter, whether that's email or on paper, take your pick. Maybe they just need a phone call. That's a real friend. In Proverbs 27, verse 10, it says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. It says, thine own friend and thy father's friend. Here's the other thing. You got family members who have some good friends, they should be good friends of yours too. When they've showed themselves over years and years of life of being good friends to your family, they're some good friends that you should keep. By the way, some of those older people that are friends of your family, they might have been through a few things. They might be able to help you and give you some wisdom that all of your peers have no clue about. You know, because let's just face it, when you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, early 20s, some of that, you think you know a lot, but the reality is there are a lot of life experiences that you haven't had to deal with yet. And having the advantage of somebody that you know is faithful and been faithful to your family, and you've seen them through good times and bad be faithful, that's somebody to talk to when times are going tough. Because let's just face it, mom and dad aren't always around. Maybe your mom and dad passed away when you were little. Well, guess what? Those family friends can step in and be a help. That could be people in your church family that can help out, that could be that blessing and help you when you're going through difficult times. Or maybe you're just not sure, you know, hey, you see some stuff going on, you're like, I'm not really sure about this. Well, you can go to them and get some counsel and get some advice. The unfortunate thing is not taking advantage of the wisdom in this sense. Think of all the wisdom of people that are here that they've gone through in their lives, that you have the advantage to take, that you can use for your own life to make it better without having to go through some things. Now, let's face it, there are some kids in life that they have a heart's desire that they have to learn everything the hard way. They have to try it out. They've got to, you know, crash and burn and everything else. But not everybody's like that. And if you're not like that, take advantage of the wisdom that other people have. You know, there's people here like we have a missionary to Vanuatu here. Guess what? I guarantee you some of the experiences that he has in the ministry are different than anywhere else. You know, I learned that real quick because when he came back, he started carrying a purse. I knew something was different already. I mean, not to pick on him or anything, but, you know, now the Beelan bag, yeah. You know, and the other fact that they'll hold it, guys will hold hands there. If you're a really good friend with somebody in some of these other cultures, guys will hold hands. I don't know about you, but I'd be real freaked out about that. I mean, I've gone some places with Brother Peter. You know, we've done some vacations together. But if I'm walking down the road and Brother Peter kind of comes up and wants to grab my hand, I'm sorry. I'm going to be a little wigged out.
It's just California.
Yeah. but what is that? That's the difference of where you're at. Guess what? You move somewhere else, you need some good friends to help you understand the culture and what's going on there. Because let's just face it, the American way is not the only way. You know, I can remember one of the first stories that he told was about being in Vanuatu, and they had a building program, and they would steal things left and right. And then if they got caught, they would laugh about it, like, ha-ha, white man caught me, ha-ha. It's like, that's not what's going through my mind. I'm thinking we're going to take you in the back, and we're going to have a baptism, and we're going to hold you down. Maybe it's waterboarding. Maybe it's baptism. Never know, right? But that's the culture. And what do? If you keep trying to play the American way on it, you're just going to drive yourself insane. They're not Americans. Well, guess what? People in the West Coast are different than they are in the East Coast or the South or the Midwest. And a lot of times here we are, we go somewhere else and we think everybody is just like us. It doesn't work that way. You know, I can tell you honestly, if you don't think so, here's a real simple way to do it. Go down south. Go find Whataburger? Go into a Whataburger and place an order. And before you get your food, you're going to want to strangle someone. Why? Because they usually only have one person at the checkout. And that one person will want randomly, at whatever time they want to, just walk away. And there'll be nobody there. And you're standing there like, I'd like to place my order. They're in the back. They can see you standing there, and they're drinking a Coke or whatever they're doing in the back, and eventually they'll wander on up. And you think, okay, I can handle this. They place the order. Well, just because you thought she was slow, what you didn't realize is everybody in the back who's cooking is just as slow. And then on top of that, they have your number, and it's on this white slip of paper that's on the tray with your order. And you'll see the person lift up the paper, read it, put it back down, and then he'll walk out and he'll start looking for people that have that number. And about every other time, he's looking at the number, looking at that person, looking at the number, looking at that. At that point, you're wanting like, over here, buddy. Why? It's a different culture. And if you try to apply wherever you're from to somebody else's culture, it's going to be difficult. Well, just think about it. This is their culture. They're used to going out to war. They're used to all these things going on, and which she lists right here are some of those things going on. That is normal for them. Okay, that's not normal for us. And you have to put yourself in their position. So if we go back to Judges chapter 5, I'm going to give you a modern example of how to understand this. Or maybe this just works for me and not for you. In verse 30 it says, have they not sped? Okay, imagine whatever the action movie is you really like, because more than likely you've never done anything like it. Now, you may have wanted to do something like it. And if you're a foolish young man, you might have, okay? But a lot of people have not driven vehicles at high rates of speed. Let's just do a little thing. Who here is, if you've driven over 100 miles an hour, you driving, raise your hand. Okay, that's less than half. If you've driven over 130, raise your hand. Now, this is driven, not ridden. This is you driving the vehicle over 130. Raise your hand. Okay, now we're down to, like, I can count them on both hands. Okay, so when you watch the movies and you see these people doing 160, 180, and 200, just realize not very many people have that experiences. Now, I will just, in full disclosure here, the only reason I didn't go that fast is I didn't have a car that could go that fast. Because the car I had at that point, I know exactly how fast it could do, and that was my foot all the way to the floor. Nonetheless, is when they're talking about the speed in the chariots here, it says, have they not sped? I mean, I don't know about you, when you get done with something and you're on your way home, I just want to get home. I'm not here for the scenery. I'm not here to look at all the little signs on the side of the road. I'm not well, maybe sometimes there's a donut shop and you're like, oh, I got to make a stop here and grab donuts for the kids and then back home, right? But most time you're just trying to get home. And then it says, have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel or two? Okay, this is your James Bond movie. Every movie there's James Bond's got a different girl, right? Or it could be multiple. If it's an older one from the 60s and 70s, let's just face it, there are 2-3 girls that he was with in that amount of time. Then it goes on. To every man, damsel too, to Sisera, a prey of diverse colors of needlework, on both sides. Okay, this is like the fashion magazines. This is like the thing where they got the people with all the fancy clothes and all the stuff for the stores that if you they don't put price tags on them because if you have to ask, you can't buy it anyways, right? This is like going to Las Vegas and you're walking through the places that are not where they're gambling and they have all the fancy stuff for sale. Once again, you probably can't afford it. And if you can, if you go to the other gambling part, you won't be able to soon. Excuse me. And so think about all of this. Think of the mother, Sisera. Everything she's talking about here is he's going to hurry back. You know, yeah, he's going to have a, you know, he's going to mess around with a couple girls, but then he's bringing back all this stuff. What is it? I'm getting something out of this. He's bringing back all this stuff. You know, this is like I would come back from some of the computer conventions I would be at, and I'd bring back T-shirts and hats and toys and all this stuff, and I'd throw it up on the table, and the kids just take whatever they want. And but yet, he's bringing back all this stuff, and the family's like, hey, this is where we get paid back. This is where we get the fancy clothes, the latest fashions. You know, go right in Europe or in Egypt. Hey, here's the latest fashions from Egypt. So you can be envy of everybody around you because you have the latest Egyptian fashions. Those kinds of things. Is she really worried about him, or is she really worried about what she's getting out of it? I mean, if you read that whole thing, it's about him coming back quickly, some of the things that he's doing, and then there's, hey, there's all these fancy clothes coming back. Is she really worried about him? See, one of the things that happens is when we get used to things, sometimes we care more about the things than the people. You know, you get used to whoever it is doing things for you. After a while, you get so used to those things being done for you, you forget about the people behind them. And the things become more important. And let's just face it, that is Western culture. If you don't think things are important, just watch TV, look at the ads on the side of the road. They're trying to tell you whatever you had is no longer any good. There's something newer, better, stronger, faster, shinier, more intelligent, will do more stuff for you, blah, 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 blah. There's always something new that you have to have. I mean, come on, let's face it. Now there's fridges you can walk up to and press a button and it'll show you what's inside so you don't have to open the door. I mean, if this isn't Western culture, you know, at its finest, I don't know what it is. I mean, the only next thing is the one I'm waiting for is just the oven and the dishwasher. It's all in one. It's just like this whole wall. You walk up, this is what I want to eat. It comes out. When you're done, there's another one you put it in, and it washes all the dishes to get it ready for the next time you want something. That's what I'm waiting for. Because right now, because with the dishwasher, you know, some stuff you have to scrub because it's not going to clean in the dishwasher, and you put it in there, and you put the pods in and press the button. You hope everything comes clean out the other side. But someday they'll get there if the Lord tarries. And then we get to verse 31, which says, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. So the first thing is this changes from Sisera's mom talking to now it's Deborah. And it's saying, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. Well, that's a future thing. That's happening. It's probably not going to be that long from now. There's going to come a time when all the Lord's enemies are going to get what they deserve. There's going to come a time very soon that every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. By the way, that's going to be a real big surprise to people. You know, you got people like, well, Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. That's not the name you're going to be saying. You know, there are people out there that, you know, now they've got Hebrew in them, and so now it's, you know, Yahweh and all this other stuff. And, well, you know, and we have to be like Jews. We can't put the vowels in there. So they'll put Y in a, you know, an underline and H in an underline and, you know, things like that. That's not the name you need to be worried about. The name you need to be worried about is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his title. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of all, the King of Kings, the Prince of Princes. He's the one the world needs. He's the one that every one of us needs. See, that's the nice thing about our Lord is he's not stuck with just one thing. Do you need comfort? Well, he's the great comforter. Do you need healing? He's the great physician. Do you need somebody to intervene on your side? Well, guess what? He is the mediator between God and man. Do you need somebody to show up and empower? Let's just face it. Nobody has more power than he is because he made everything. And if you made everything, I'm pretty sure that's powerful enough to deal with any issue going on in your life. And it says here in verse 31, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he... I don't know about you, but that's not normally what I read about in books. When it's talking about the sun, S-U-N, it's talking about a thing, an it. It's not talking about a he. So let's do a little bit of Bible reading on that. Let's turn over to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Malachi chapter 3. If you don't know how to get there, go to back of Matthew and then go backwards one book. That's how I find it. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Well, the first part of that, a refiner's fire, when you're refining something with fire, you're melting it down so you get all the gunk to float to the top and you can just scrape it off and throw it away to get rid of it. You're trying to make something pure. That has to deal with the second part of this, what talks about the fuller's soap. Why? You're trying to get something to clean something up. That's what it's talking about. And let's just face it, because of sin, we all need to get cleaned up. And thankfully, it's a solution that's taken care of one time for all. But the problem with that is this flesh, it still does all the bad stuff. Now, it doesn't get credited to our account, but we still do bad things. We think bad things. We still need to be cleaned up. We still need to go to the Lord and say, yeah, Lord, it's me. I messed up again. Please forgive me. Why? Because that affects, as Pastor was talking about on Thursday, is talking about your state and your standing. See, the state, a simple way that I use to illustrate that is, I'm a dad, and I've got kids. So no matter what happens, Grace is my kid. Now, that's her standing. The state is, how well are we getting along? Because let's just face it, if she does a whole bunch of bad things, we may not be talking, you know. We may not be getting along well. Guess what? That's what we do when we sin. When we sin, we say, God, I don't need you anymore. I know what I need, and I'll take care of me. That's what sin really is in simplicity. And what does that do? It creates a barrier between us and God. How do you fix it? You go to God, and you tell him the truth. I'm the problem. It's me that failed. I didn't need any help. It was just me. I sinned, Lord. Please forgive me. No different with your kid when they're little. What do you want them to do? That you want them to come up to you and tell you, Dad, I did wrong. Please forgive me. And then what do? You give them a hug, and it's a great time. Everybody smiles. You tickle them a little bit, and you send them on their way, right? Okay, God doesn't necessarily tickle you. But the thing is, what can he do? He can give you a hug. He can let you know, thank you. Thank you for doing the right thing. Thank you for saying the truth, what the problem is. Because the truth isn't God. There are a lot of flaws in this world, but God isn't one of them. There are a lot of flaws in me, but it's not God's problem. It's my problem. I'm the fault of it. Let's turn over to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1 says, for behold, the day cometh and shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. So all the people out there that are, you know, I'm proud. I'm this, I'm that. Well, you know, that's not a word I'd really want to be my banner. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Notice S-U-N. One of the greatest types we have of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get to see almost every day. Now, some days it's obscured by clouds, but it's still there. If you don't believe me, get in an airplane, fly, you'll get above the clouds, you'll get to see it. Worst case, there's an Atkinson down south that works in an airport. Maybe he can hop you a ride, you can get up and see it, you know, when you're going through your 90 to 120 days straight of rain and gray. And it says, "And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." So here's another verse I don't see many people on, you know, preaching about on TV. I want you to think about this. He's saying when he's going forth, everybody that's evil and wicked are going to get burnt up like stubble, and then you're going to tromp on top of them. You know, that's not a wonderful picture. That's not world peace as the world views it, of all of mankind coming together and just having a brave new world, and it'll be like Star Trek. We won't have money, and everybody will just get along, and we'll just love everybody, and it'll all be good. That's not what's coming. Way before that, God's going to show up, and he said, "Look, you got a choice. You either chose me or you didn't, and when you choose, that has eternal consequences." And there are a lot of people in this world that have chose wrongly, and from our perspective, it's like, "Lord, look at them. Everything in their life is going well. They have their health, and they're rich, and they have this, and they have that, and all those other things." And God's going, "Yeah, but you're not taking the long look. You're not looking at what's coming. You're not thinking about the lake of fire. You're not thinking about that judgment where they're going to have to stand before God, confess that who he is, and then on top of that, when he gives them judgment, they're going to agree with him." Ever thought about how that's going to be? All these people that talk, "Well, when I see God, I'm going to give him what for." No, you're not. No, you're not. If John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, fell at his feet as dead when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody's going to be standing up there thumping their chest about how great they are. And on top of that, God's just going to go, "Okay, let's just take a look at your life and all the choices you made. All the times I sent somebody to witness to you. All the times you were offered a tract. All the times that somebody said, 'Hey, you know, could I just tell you about the Lord?' Hey, those are all going to come back. All those times that God sent somebody to witness to them and try to get them to change their direction they were going. And then he's going to go, 'Now let's look at all the choices you did and what your works really were. With all the talents and skills I gave you, what did you do with it? What did you accomplish with it?' And then we're going to judge it. And then I'm going to send you into the lake of fire. And you're going to agree with me that that's where you deserve to go." That's how the ending of Judges chapter 5 ends, with the exception of one other thing. "And the land had rest 40 years. Now we're going to talk about this. If you look at Judges chapter 5, verse 31, and Judges chapter 6, verse 1, you'll see 40 years and 7 years. And we'll talk a little bit about that combination next time. But 40 and 7 have a tendency to go together, and we'll look at several of those in the Bible next week. So let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for each person here. We pray, Lord, for each person listening to this message, Lord, that you'd bless them, Lord, that you'd encourage them and strengthen them, that you'd help them with the trials and struggles of their lives. Lord, that you'd give them the direction that they need. Lord, that you'd encourage them when they're going in the right way and doing the things that you want them to do. And in all things, Lord, that we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.